All right.
Thank you. You may be seated. Good morning to everyone. We will begin this morning with introductions from the court. I am Mike Havikin, the Chief Justice. Now the other members of the court will introduce themselves by order of seniority as to service on the court.
Good morning. I'm Lindsay Miller-Lerman.
William Castle. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie Stacy.
Good morning, I am Jeff Funk.
Jonathan Papik, good morning.
And John Freidenberg.
Thank you, members of the court. Our first case this morning is Sanchez versus Sanchez. Mr. Samuelson, good morning to you. And Mr. Huff, good morning to you. Do either counsel have any questions before we begin? Then, Mr. Samuelson, you may approach and you may proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors, members of the court. Mike Samuelson, Reynolds, Corth, and Samuelson here today on behalf of the appellant Crystal Sanchez. This matter comes to Your Honors on an appeal of a termination of parental rights case out of Cheyenne County, Nebraska, in which the court found that the three grounds existed under 43-292 for purposes of termination of parental rights, subsections 1, 2, and 3. After making such a determination, the court found that it would be in the best interest of the party's minor children for the court to terminate the mother's parental rights. The mother subsequently appealed the decision, and we're here before Your Honors here today. As far as I'm going to go through it, I guess, one by one. It's our contention that the trial court erred in several respects, first of which the court made a determination that under 43-292-1, the mother had abandoned the party's minor children. I think when Your Honors look at the record on appeal, as far as abandonment, the law defines it as a parent's intentionally withholding from a child without just cause or excuse the parent's presence, care, love, protection, maintenance, and opportunity for the display of parental affection for the child. I think when Your Honors look at the record in this case, one of the things that sticks out, I guess, in the forefront of my mind, and I hope it would for Your Honors, is the termination of parental rights counterclaim that was filed in this case was filed in direct response to the mother's efforts to increase the visitation with her kids. She filed pro se in August of 2020 an action to reestablish, if you will, contact with her children because she was not having successful efforts through the father. In direct response to that, the father filed a counterclaim seeking to terminate the parental rights of the mother.
So what did the trial court judge say about abandonment?
The trial court said that the mother had no meaningful contact with the child, things along those lines. I don't think that the trial court gave the appropriate weight to the fact that this was a mother who, pro se, had filed an action on her own trying to reestablish relationships with her kids. I certainly think that speaks volumes to the fact that this is somebody who is trying to see her kids. And for purposes of abandonment under the statute, one of the things that the court looks at is, says a parent's abandonment of his or her child for 6 months or more immediately prior to filing a petition to terminate parental rights as grounds to terminate such rights.
Your client had a right to supervised visitation under the dissolution decree, correct?
And that is correct, Your Honor.
And is it a correct statement that the evidence reflects that she exercised that supervised visitation maybe three times shortly after it was entered, and then not at all for several years thereafter? Is that a correct statement of the record?
That would be correct, Your Honor. The record does establish that upon the divorce of the parties, there were some efforts made to see the kids. I think the evidence before the trial court showed that she made additional efforts to see the kids. She unfortunately had some criminal issues in Colorado that I think the record reflected, where she was incarcerated from 2019 until early 2020. During that time, though, I would point out to Your Honors that she was making efforts to better her situation, notwithstanding the fact that she did certainly make some mistakes that got her incarcerated in the first place.
The decree was entered in when, 2015 or 16?
The decree was entered in 2015.
So from 2015 to 2019, did she have any contact with the children before her incarceration?
She had a bit at the outset, Your Honors. There was testimony that she tried to see the kids and would ask for photographs, things of those lines, and then she'd get a photo, but she could recognize, obviously, as a mother, that these were outdated, these weren't current, and that was the extent of it.
Well, she had a mechanism to have visitation, didn't she, to get a third party to supervise the visits and establish those? Wasn't there a mechanism to do that?
The order that the trial court entered, that the district court entered in the divorce action, did call for her to have supervised visitations. Now, could she have pressed the issue perhaps a little differently rather than the communications between the two of them? Yeah, she certainly could have.
What about the best interest of the children? Was that met by the termination?
That's an interesting point, Your Honor, and I don't think it was, because if you look at the termination of parental rights, there's an analysis of first, does it meet one of the subsections of 43-292? Even if you find that one of those six factors is present, the movement, the individual that's seeking to terminate parental rights, whether it be a parent, whether it be the state of Nebraska, still has to establish that termination of the parental rights is in the best interest of the children. And I think in this instance, that clearly was not shown.
Isn't the heart of your argument that your client's efforts to maintain contact were frustrated by the children's father?
It is, Your Honor.
And what's your best evidence to support that contention?
Well, Your Honor, there was testimony from multiple witnesses in that regard. The mother testified, and as well as her mother testified to the efforts that her daughter had made and to see the kids and was expressing her frustration to her mother. The mother testified about the frustrations that her daughter was expressing to her about her inability to see the kids, and her mother said, well, essentially, I'm paraphrasing here a bit, but essentially, well, then you need to go to court to try to establish that. And I think if you look at the best interest analysis, Your Honors, one of the things being is, I think what Your Honors will see, or what the record shows is, did she make some mistakes in the past? Absolutely. Was foreclosing the opportunity to have to establish a better relationship with her kids appropriate? Absolutely not. During the time that she was incarcerated, she took classes, she did counseling. At the time when she was released from a halfway house, she continued in those efforts to better the situation. Upon her release, she at her place of employment, she was drug tested. All those results came back. There was nothing to indicate that the drugs were an issue. At the time of the trial, the father actually acknowledged, when asked, do you have anything to suggest that, you know, the mother is currently an unfit parent? His response was no. We certainly don't think this is a situation to where she should be foreclosed from developing a better relationship with her kids.
I'm sorry, Chief.
What exactly is the remedy you would like from this court?
We would ask that this court reverse the trial court's determination that termination of parental rights is appropriate. There were several other parts to the litigation that were pending. There was the mother's action to reestablish the contact with the kids. She filed a modification, and the father had actually filed several counterclaims in addition to the TPR. One was to modify the terms of the visitation arrangement. What we're asking is that the court reverse the lower court's determination that termination of parental rights is appropriate, remand the action back to the trial court for determination of what sort of a visitation schedule is appropriate, give the mother an opportunity to reestablish further contact with her children.
What does the record tell us about the mother's payment of court-ordered child support? And how does that influence or impact our analysis here?
As far as the court-ordered child support, Your Honor, she certainly didn't follow the appropriate mechanisms for purposes.
Had she ever paid?
I don't believe she had, Your Honor.
From 2015 on?
I don't believe she did. So the record did reflect that she had offered some payments to the father, and he'd refused, but that's obviously, again, she could have followed some other channels to make sure that it was the funds were getting where they needed to go.
Was that testimony from her that established that she offered the money?
Yeah, it was, Your Honor.
Did he agree that she had?
I don't recall as far as whether or not that was refuted by him at the time of the trial. So, and I've got about 35 seconds left, so if there are no further questions, I guess I would like to reserve the 30 seconds for rebuttal.
Thank you very much. Mr. Huff, good morning to you.
Good morning.
May it please the court. My name is obviously Sterling Huff. I'm for the appellee, Benjamin Sanchez, who was the plaintiff in the case below. During the course of the testimony of the mother, I asked her if she would agree for years from the time of 2015 up until her incarceration and into a halfway house in Colorado if she was an unfit parent, and she agreed with that. Her response was yes. I also asked her that she had testified that she believed that her lifestyle of living had changed now that she would be a fit parent, and her response to that was, I don't want to answer that question. At the time of the trial in this matter, she had relatively new criminal charges pending in October of 2021 in the County Court of Kimball County, Nebraska. It was a fairly small charge of disturbing the peace, but at the same time, she still had additional or new.
You quote from her testimony where she says she doesn't want to answer. But then the very next line, you say, I'm sorry. She says, I just want to be part of my kid's life. You say, so you believe it's changed. Is that correct? And she says, yes.
Yeah.
So she did say that she believed that she had changed and she was now a fit parent, correct?
Yeah, that is correct, Your
Honor. Okay. So you would agree that it's your obligation to show present unfitness. Is that correct?
That actually, Your Honor, there's to a certain degree, yes. This court in re interest of it is Isabel P. in talking about the 6-month rule of abandonment, said that the court may consider evidence of parents' conduct either before or after the statutory period and determine the purpose and intent of whether or not the parent was to abandon. So I think it's a compound situation of looking at a parent's past conduct as, quite frankly, the best predictor of their future behavior.
Sure. So you referenced abandonment, and I guess I should have been clearer. You have to show one of the statutory requirements, but you also have to show termination would be in the child's best interest, correct?
That is correct.
And as part of the best interest inquiry, haven't we also said that because the parent-child relationship comes with constitutional rights of the parent, that you would have to demonstrate parental unfitness?
That is correct.
And what's your best evidence here of current unfitness?
I guess my best evidence, Your Honor, of current parental unfitness would be a couple of things, and that is her history. I think, and the trial court pointed this out, we had alleged as part of our counterclaim that she had not paid her child support. And this case, or the termination, was filed in September of 2021. The trial did not occur until very late in the next year. It took almost a year for the trial to occur. And during that entire period of time, despite the fact that she was working at George Risk Industries in Kimball, she still never paid any child support for the, for these three children. And that,
was there some testimony that she thought there was withholding?
There was, Your Honor. She essential claim at trial was that she was, she provided pay stubs, however, though, Your Honor, that are actually in evidence. And her testimony was that she thought that there was withholding being done because of electronic deposits, but obviously the pay stubs that she provided in discovery that we used at trial showed that there was clearly no money coming out of her paychecks. And this case is a first for me in that regard, in that I have not had a case up to this point. I certainly have had a case with this magnitude of delinquent child support or close to it, but I've never had one where no money was ever paid. No contempts were filed, no state withholding from her pay stubs, no income tax interceptions. There was just absolutely nothing.
How does one accomplish working for someone in Nebraska an employment relationship without having child support withheld? How can that happen in this day and age?
Your Honor, I was a little shocked about it myself. And to answer that question, I don't know.
So in terms of her belief, is it entirely unreasonable for her to believe there was withholding?
In my opinion, yes, at a $10 to $12 an hour job, to not recognize that some kind of withholding was coming out of her paychecks, I felt was completely unreasonable. The other issue, I think along those lines, Your Honor, though, however, is she acknowledged during her testimony when the decree was entered in 2015, her testimony was the very next day she quit her Walmart job. And I asked her some questions about that and why did she did that, and she says, because I felt like my life was coming apart. And then I asked her after that if she recognized that she still had a financial obligation to support her children, and she said, I did.
Well, her life was pretty much coming apart in 2015, wasn't it?
Well, unfortunately, it was, but it was coming apart because of her own behavior. And I think that's pretty clear in the decree where the judge said, you still have a right to see your children, and I'm going to enforce that right as a trial court judge, but it was supervised through a third party, and obviously the judge put in his order that she had to be clean and sober during those visits. So
your opponent seems to suggest that her efforts to restart the parent-child relationship were frustrated to a considerable degree by your client. How do you respond to that?
I would say this, Your Honor. Was he overly cooperative in that over the years? Likely not. Was there a court order in place that set those standards up that she only exercised three of those visits? Yes. And I think it's pretty clear after that third visit up until the point in time that she filed the complaint to modify in 2020 and we filed the counterclaim, she had left to go to Colorado and her engaged in a significant amount of criminal history. During that period of time was some domestic assaults, some felony-level drug charges. Ultimately, admitted during the testimony of this that she was on probation, admitted that she had violated her probation multiple times, and ultimately was incarcerated in the Denver Women's Correctional Facility and then came out of that facility into a halfway house. So I think a lot of that was unfortunately her own undoing, if you will.
Does the fact that your client acknowledged that he's not a lawful permanent resident have any bearing on the best interests analysis?
Well, fortunately, Your Honor, no action has been taken in that regard. I guess it could theoretically, it's unfortunate that he hasn't applied for citizenship, or at least at that point in time had not. I still believe it's in the children's best interest, obviously, based on the evidence presented to be in his care, would be my comment to that. But that is an unfortunate reality that these three children do face.
I understand your statement that it would be in the children's best interest to be in his care, but would that fact have some bearing on whether it's in the children's best interest to foreclose parental rights of the mother?
Potentially, if she was a responsible enough parent to take these kids. I guess my concern about that at this point in time would be these children at the time of the decree were 4, 3, and a baby. At the time of the trial, they were 9, 8, and 6. And actually, my own daughter's in the back of this courtroom watching these proceedings today, and I would tell you this. It would be very difficult for a child, at least in my opinion, at this juncture, especially with a baby and these other and the older two kids, they don't recognize their mother. They don't even know who she is. I can't believe at this point in time that they'd even have any recollection of who their mother is, which is heart-wrenching to say the least.
Do they have other family in the area? Is there evidence in the record of what would happen if the father was deported? Is there any evidence in the record of what would happen in that situation?
Not to any appreciable degree that I can recall, Your Honor. The grandmother who testified was out of state in Missouri. I don't think there was any direct testimony from my client about relatives that's maintained in the record.
Why did your client wait to move for termination until after the appellant filed for modification?
Well, at that point in time, Your Honor, he'd had no contact with her. She was completely, essentially, out of his life and out of the children's lives, and she wasn't paying her child support. He really didn't have a need for it, and he actually didn't really know where her whereabouts were at, so he hadn't taken any action because it... From his point of view, he was staying home and working hard and taking care of his kids.
How much deference do we have to give to the trial court's determinations of credibility, if any, and the trial court's ultimate disposition here?
I think the review, if I recall correctly, Your Honor, is de novo. So generally, I think even with that, I think this court gives deference to the trial court as far as credibility, but the review ultimately is de novo. Any other questions, Your Honor? If not, I may be excused.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Do we have time for rebuttal?
29 seconds, Your Honor.
We'll give you 30 seconds, Mr. Samuelson.
I will be brief, Your Honor. While statutory grounds are based on a parent's prior conduct, best interest inquiry focuses on the future well-being of the children. I would point out to Your Honors that the appellant has shown substantial progress and interest in creating a better relationship with her children. Termination of her parental rights would not help those children achieve any more permanency than they would otherwise have. There was no petition pending to terminate the parental rights of the father. And I would leave you with the court's Kennessee versus Lacey H. that's cited in the brief Supreme Court opinion, where Your Honors, I think on facts, perhaps not exactly, but similar to this, reverse the trial court's order terminating parental rights. So,
I'm sorry, I beg your pardon. I do have a question.
Sure.
If this court were to agree with you regarding an error with respect to termination, what would be the relief that you envisage at the trial level?
Your Honor,
modification to what degree? What would be the structure?
Well, I think it would then be up to the trial court to determine what sort of if this court reverses the trial court's order terminating the parental rights, I think then it would go back to the trial court level for determination of what type of visitation would be appropriate for the mother. And that would be something that
would... And what are you urging in that regard?
Well, certainly I think, Your Honor, as far as it was at supervised visitation at the time that the hearing occurred, certainly she needs to understand that she's going to have to develop a relationship with the kids So if the trial court determines that it starts off supervised and goes from there, depending on how the progress is shown, I think that would be up to the trial court. But the trial that was...
Well, I beg your pardon, it's up to the trial court, but what are you urging would be realistic and in the children's interest?
I think certainly supervised visitation, having them an opportunity to get to know the mother, assuming that that visitation goes well, we would hope that it would progress to unsupervised visitation.
What did you ask for in your initial request for modification that triggered everything that's before us today?
She
filed it pro se, I guess. What did she ask for?
She did. I believe she asked to reestablish the visitation with the children because I don't think she was getting it. And that was her frustration in what she filed. And I see I'm out of time.
Thank you very much. Council, that concludes arguments in Sanchez versus Sanchez. So you are excused, and the court will go on to the next case of the day, which is Pine Tree Neighborhood Association versus Moses.